Please, the book of the Revelation. We'll be in chapter 4. We're living in a time in our nation that we are in really great jeopardy and peril. We find that folks across our country are losing jobs like crazy. We find that we're hearing bad news every day. We keep being told that our government's going to bail us out. We are the government. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to bail ourselves out. We tax ourselves into oblivion and give it to ourselves or something. I'm not sure how this works. I know how it works. It doesn't work. Anyways, we're living an unusual age. And I think a lot of folks are just kind of scared. I think a lot of folks are wondering what is about to happen. I believe a lot of folks are just, they're looking at things and just it seems kind of bleak in their lives. But I want to raise your sights tonight. Okay? I want you to see something tonight that is tremendous. And that is the throne room of God. Turn to Revelation chapter number 4 tonight. And we're going to look inside of the throne room of God. And I hope that your sights get elevated tonight. And that you might just rejoice with me just a little bit. You know, perspective is just about everything in life. Two people walk in the same room and one sees it well decorated, you know, and the other one sees it, partly decorated, and the other one sees it a disaster, you know, partly disaster. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of how you look at it. Some people see the glass half full and some see it half empty, you know. So let's get our perspective in the right direction tonight and let's see something here tonight. In chapter number 4, verse number 1 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Father, tonight, we thank You for the privilege to read of this tremendous chapter. I pray You will bless not only the reading of it, but the preaching of it tonight. Elevate our sights that we might behold You tonight. Help us, Father, to just refrain ourselves from thinking about ourselves, but that our thoughts might be upon You. Work and bless in this hour, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. If we were to ask opinions tonight about any particular subject, I'm sure that we would have in this room about 70, 80, 90 different opinions upon whatever subject that is. And since I'm preaching, I'm giving you my opinion. I believe that chapter 4 and chapter 5 are two greatest back-to-back chapters in the Bible. Revelation 4 and 5 is a scene in heaven, the throne room of God. And in these two chapters, I believe we find back-to-back the two greatest chapters in the Word of God. In them, we get a peek at the heavenly throne of God. Now, let's understand something. When you read the book of Psalm, and you come to chapter number 22, and chapter 23, and chapter 24, chapter 22, 3, and 4, you'll find a trilogy of Psalms that are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, they are tremendous Psalms. But these two chapters, in my opinion, back to back, are the greatest chapters in the Word of God. That's my opinion. I might change my opinion tomorrow, but that's my opinion today. And it just really thrills my heart as I read these two chapters every time I come to them in God's Word. I think of the book of Romans, chapters 6, 7, and 8 especially. And what tremendous, how these chapters just, I tell you what, they can lift your soul. They are blessedness. They talk about our walk with God. But I still, these two chapters, I read these, I see this tremendous throne of God, and it just, it fills my soul with amazement to think about the greatness of our God. So when we begin this chapter, we find, I believe it starts with the rapture. I believe it starts with that time when you and I are going to be taken out of the presence of this world and taken to the presence of Almighty God. I believe that time could happen at any moment now. Notice what it says, after this I look. After what? After this, one thing I think of, it must be referring back to the previous chapters. Now, in Sunday school, in my adult Sunday school class, we talked about these two chapters here recently, and we went through the seven churches that are dealt with there. And so it's talking about after this, after these churches, and perhaps we could even say after the church age. In other words, I believe what it's talking about here is at this point, the church age ceases to exist. Matter of fact, you'll not find church mentioned until you get all the way to chapter number 19 of the book of the Revelation. And I believe that the period that we're speaking of from chapter 4 to chapter 19 is a period that's sometimes called Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, and you've heard the term the Great Tribulation period. 7 years of literal judgment upon the face of this world, a horrible time of God's judgment here in this world. And God willing, we might take a look at those particular things. I believe we're on the precipice of that right now. I believe we're very close to this event called the rapture, whereby God comes, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to the clouds and He shouts, the trumpet is blown, and we which are alive and remain here upon the earth, we will be taken in the very presence of God. I mean, boom, we are gone. Now that sounds like a glorious event. You know, about the time your bills are due, you're thinking, even so, come Lord Jesus. You know? But, you know, we ought to be thinking that long before that. You know, sometimes we get the idea, boy, I want Him to come get me out of this awful mess. But, oh my goodness, that we just might see Jesus. We have that wondrous privilege. We notice here that it does talk about a trumpet, doesn't it? He says a trumpet is talking to it. We find, of course, here that referring to a very, very short period of time. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And so I believe it's corresponding here, especially that word immediately, verse number 2, with the twinkling of an eye. I mean, that's how fast that is going to take place. Somebody said, what is the next prophetic event on God's calendar? The rapture. The rapture. When God comes and takes God's people home. Okay? And all those who do not know Him, they will be left. You're not saved tonight. If that was to take place tonight, listen, when I leave, I imagine my clothes would just be left here. I don't know what I'm going to have up in heaven. I don't think this suit probably is going to match what God's going to have dressed me in glory. Amen? And the keys of my car in my pocket. Okay? And the same keys on that, there's a key to the door, and you go in the back door, and there's a button you can push. The garage will come up. Take the car, have fun with it, all right? Just have fun with it. Understand, my dogs are not going to go with me. Dogs are without, so they're going to stay put, so you better make friends with them, all right? You can have the house. I mean, you can have whatever's there, because I'm not going to need any longer, because I got a better place awaiting me. Amen? But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be in glory than have the keys in my car and stay here. Okay, because I'm going to tell you something. It's going to wear out. It's going to rust out. And if you don't have much money in your pocket, it's going to run out of gas real soon. So it's just a blessed thing that we have this wondrous hope that is waiting for you and for me. Now, he says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. I believe that that one is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse number 6, it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb." Notice that's capitalized, referring to the Lamb of God, Christ. "As had been slain." Who was slain? None other than Jesus. "And it says, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set forth into all the earth." And I believe that we're talking here about the throne room of our Lord and our Savior. We're talking about the throne room of God. Let's notice a few things about this scene here. When we go to chapter number 3, we find that it begins to talk about something that just spectacular in my mind. Notice what it says. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Here we find these beautiful stones. We find this rainbow. We are looking at a tremendous display of light. By the way, a rainbow does not give off light. It reflects light. Who is light? God is light. When you get to the end of the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that there is no sun there. There's no need of it. Because God is the light of heaven. Amen. The New Jerusalem is described back there. God is the light. And now we find in the midst of this throne, this beautiful light that comes forth, and this rainbow round about, this mist that is round about that allows this light to be diffused in these beautiful colors. And the main color is a green like unto an emerald. I believe showing forth the freshness of our wondrous God. And by the way, God made this earth really to be green. Have you noticed that? And it's one reason you folks get depressed in the wintertime, because there's no green. And, you know, we love to see that green as it comes forth. By the way, in a couple months, it'll be glorious when the resurrection takes place and plants come back to life. That grass that is buried right now, we think is going to be unburied. And it's going to begin to grow, and the green will chop forth. And boy, I tell you what, it's the most beautiful come springtime. And we love that, but all nothing compares with what we are beholding here in this wonderful scene as we are looking to the throne of God. Beautiful, beautiful, wonderful scene. And the rainbow round about. Anybody remember what the rainbow was given for? How many kids here can tell me, what was the rainbow given for? It was a promise by God that He never flood the earth again. That flood was a judgment upon man. This is not a rainbow like you and I are privy to. It's not one that goes from the ground up through the sky and back down again. This one says round about the throne. How many have ever been in an airplane and seen what they call a pilot's rainbow? That's what this is referring to. This is a rainbow that encircles rather than just a half moon. I read the story one time of a Christian pilot who was in a horrible storm. And as he was in this storm, his little plane was being flung about and the lightning was flashing, the thunder was crashing. I mean, it was, and the wind was horrible. He thought for sure he was going to go down. And he said he came above the clouds for just a moment and saw this rainbow. And he said the sun was behind him and the shadow of his plane was in the midst of what is called the pilot's rainbow, a full circle rainbow. And he said, "I knew at that instant I was in the protection of Almighty God." And God is having this around about the throne. Notice what it says in verse 5. He says, "Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." It's the place of the Spirit of God. By the way, you can look up those seven spirits in Isaiah, and don't get too awful excited in the fact you think, boy, there's seven Holy Spirits. No, He's one. But it's talking about the ways in which He ministers to you and I. Notice it says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass." Doesn't say it was crystal, but like unto crystal. "And the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." We'll get to those in a moment. But I want you to notice here, this sea of glass. I personally believe it's not a crystal. It says likened to crystal. I believe this is something you can see through. I believe it is probably one huge diamond. Isn't that something? I read something here recently. I don't know if any of you folks have ever seen this or thought about it. Every rock you pick up, no matter how big or how small it is, if you look real closely, you'll find what looks like could be a crack. Do you know when Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, it talks about all the rocks being basically cracked. But in glory, that is not going to be the case. And we have this beautiful, wondrous stone, I think, before the throne of God, this sea of glass, before we even approach it. Can you imagine the light display? Can you imagine the sounds that He speaks of here that's coming forth from the throne room of God? What a display of beauty. What a display, I believe, of eloquence. This is speaking of our God. Now notice, there are some characters that are here. In verse number 4, it says, round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. This is interesting. Here we find 24 elders. 24 is many times mentioned in relationship to God's throne. Matter of fact, we find back in the Old Testament there were 24 courses of priests that served in the temple. We find that we get into the end of the book of the Revelation, there are 24 that are mentioned about the gates and, as you add them together, the foundations of the New Jerusalem, 12 and 12. I believe personally that this is in reference to the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, representative of the Jew and the Gentile. Representative particularly of those who are saved. These 24 elders. I believe they're representative of you and of me. For we find upon them that they had white robes. And God is what going to clothe us. He is the one who wraps us in that which is untarnished, the white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. So we see these 24 elders that clothed in this white raiment. And it says that they cast those crowns before the Lord. That's interesting. Let's go back for a moment and look at the four beasts, and then we'll get back to these 24 fellows. There's four living creatures. They're called beasts here. It's simply a word in the Hebrew that we perhaps would also translate zoo, zoology, study of animals. It's referring to four animal-like creatures. They seem to be the same that are the seraphim, the cherubim that are spoken of in Isaiah chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapter number 1. We find that there are probably four of them. And their primary purpose, as described here and in the book of Isaiah, seems to be to praise Almighty God, and especially the attribute of His holiness. As they sing forever, holy, holy, holy. We find that they have kind of an unusual appearance. As we look at all of the descriptions, it seems as though they actually are those kinds of creatures that have four faces, one on each side of them. One of those faces is likened to a lion, who, by the way, is considered the greatest of all the wild animals. One of those faces described as that of an ox or a calf, which is considered the greatest of the domestic animals. Another face is that of an eagle, which is considered the greatest of all the flying animals. And then the fourth face is that of a man, which is considered the greatest of all living creatures. And I do not say animals in that case. I do not make man an animal. He is a separate creation. But he's the greatest of all the living. Matter of fact, many believe that as they look at this description, that whichever one it is about this glorious throne of God, that it's the man's face that is always toward the throne itself. In the book of Ezekiel, you find that they move, but they never turn. And they're always facing the same way. We find tremendous description about these. When we look in the Word of God, we will find, and we've made comment about it here just recently, there was, at one point, I believe, a fifth cherub. And he was spoken of as the covering cherub in Ezekiel 28. And as you look at that covering cherub, the description also is that of now we know him as Satan. He was called Lucifer at that point, which means light bearer. He was in that position whereby he showed forth tremendous, the glorious light of God. Matter of fact, when you read that description, we'll not go there tonight, you will find that he was actually made as a living musical instrument. And so there, as that covering cherub, we find that beautiful music came from the throne of God, beautiful light display. But now we see certainly that he has gone from this, but he does not detract from the glory of God. For our God is always glorious. The thing that impresses me as we look at this chapter, and what just gets me excited, is when I come and I begin to read how these four beasts, seraphim, if you please, cherubim, if you please, as these four harmonize in bringing glory to God, and when they do so, it prompts the 24 elders. And you notice in verse 10, they fall down before Him that sat on the throne. Now let's remember, they had seats about this throne. They were essentially throned themselves. They were in a position of honor. They had crowns upon their heads. But as these four beasts are giving the glory, and by the way, thanks, it says in verse number 9, glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And notice what it says, and they cast their crowns before the throne. I think of the beautiful scene in the book of Revelation chapter 19 when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. And there He's described as the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And so here we have these who have the crowns upon their heads. These who have been placed into royalty. And by the way, you and I are in royalty. I'm a son of the King. God said He would make us kings and priests. Think about that. I believe these fellows, these 24, are representative of the saved. Now you may argue with that, but that's what I believe until I see something better. That's what I think it is. And as they hear this wonderful praise, they come down off of their thrones and they take off their crowns and they place them at the feet of the One who deserves it all, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the glory due to our Lord. And they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. As we met for prayer tonight, Sean Mowry, he said, God spoke to his heart this morning, and he realized once again that God placed us here for His pleasure, not ours. By the way, when we recognize we are here for His pleasure, it's amazing the pleasure He gives to us. Because I believe these 24 were in a very excited mode as they are able to express their love and devotion to the Savior. I want you to think about this for a moment. I believe it's picturesque in what you and I will be able to do one day. No doubt you've heard some of this in previous times, but you know, I believe that there are crowns that God is going to give you and me. I believe there's rewards that He has awaiting for us, and the Bible speaks of five different crowns. I just want to share this very briefly with you. In the book of James chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." God says there is a crown of life that He wants to give to folks who endure temptation because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a crown also that's spoken of in 2 Timothy. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." And so God has awaiting for us another crown called the crown of righteousness when we are excited about and waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture we spoke of a while ago, we're saying, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." That is the excitement of our soul. By the way, according to 1 John, if that is within us, we will be living a purified life. Those who have that hope within them, they clean up their lifestyles. And I believe that's why it's probably called a crown of righteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, this is especially appealing to myself, says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear," it says, "he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And I believe, most believe that's called a crown for pastoring. I don't know why there's a special one there, but that's listed there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19, listen to this, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" And He's talking about, here are some people, they are His crown. Who were these people? Folks He led to Christ. I believe God gives a crown, we could call it a soul winning. Seeking to reach people for Christ. God is going to crown us, give us honor for that. And there's a crown of faithfulness. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Faithfulness, even to the point of death. Some have even called this the martyr's crown. By the way, do you realize that in the 20th century, from 1900 to the year 2000, there were more people who suffered martyrdom for the cause of Christ in our world than the previous 19 centuries all put together? In our lifetime, brethren, it is taking place horrendously in some nations yet today. There are places right now that folks are being tortured and put to death because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been free of that in Western America, in this land we call the U.S. of A. And so there's literally thousands of people who I believe in the last century will be receiving that wondrous crown. Now think about it. As we've been faithful to God and God rewards us, there is coming that day, this glorious event that's described right here in Revelation 4, where I believe you and I have the privilege to bow our knee to Christ, to sing His praise, to thank Him. And that which He honored us with, we now have the privilege to lay at His feet, for He's the one that deserves it. He's the one that gets it. You ever gone to a party and didn't have a gift to give to the host? Felt kind of cheap, didn't you? I sure hope you got some crowns to take to this one. As you're faithful to God, you seek to reach folks and just simply love God. Amen. I don't know about you, but this is a beautiful chapter. It excites my soul. It lifts my thoughts. We look too much at everything round about us. We look at all the plagues that are here in our country and all the things that are going wrong. Hey, lift your sights. See the throne room of God. Amen? And I'll tell you what. If you know Christ your Savior, you're on the winning side. And somebody said, well, you're a Christian. You just, all you think about is pie in the sky. Hey, I got pie down here too. But what about you? Do you have any pie in the sky? Yeah, I do. Sounds pretty thrilling, amen? Yeah. God has great, wondrous things. Oh, my goodness. Great God, amen? And I hope these chapters just come alive to you. The next chapter even gets better. As we behold what takes place, I hope tonight that you know the Savior I know. I hope tonight that that which we look forward to is something you look forward to. If you don't have the Savior, this is not the picture. We talked about the picture you're going to face this morning. And in hell, He lift up His eyes. Being in torments. Boy, this is far from that. Amen? The difference is, what have you done with Jesus? Father, tonight, I pray You'll work in our hearts. Lord, perhaps there's some in our midst tonight who've never accepted You. The reality of Jesus is just not there. The forgiveness of sin, the thankfulness to a holy God, that joy of one day seeing Him, none of that is there. I pray, God, that You might deal with those individuals. Lord, for those who know You, I pray that You'd help us just to be able to lift our eyes upon You. There are so many things that we get so disturbed about in this old world, and we really need to elevate our sights and then recognize that You are indeed on that throne, and that You are indeed working things the way You want to be done. Lord, just help us to relax in that and rest in You. God, tonight, work in each and every heart. For I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.